Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
I do want to get into the Word today. I'm excited. We are starting a new sermon series, as you can see on the screen there, for the month of October, and always give this preface, God's will, is we'll be looking at this title or this sermon series that's called This is Spiritual. If you're here for the first time, sometimes a little bit I say amen. So if you feel like saying amen, but sometimes I may ask, can you say this, right? So here's one of those moments. So can y'all say that with me? This is spiritual. And this is what I mean by that. So for the last, maybe 2 months, we were talking about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, so the Holy Spirit, that there is this war that goes on within us to follow what it is that God wants us to do. And so that's spiritual. The reason why that is spiritual is because we are spirit beings that live in a body and that has a mind and a will and the emotions. But every once in a while, our flesh, which is our mind and our physical body, wants to go one direction, and the Holy Spirit is saying to us, don't do that, or do that. And we're like, I don't want to. And there's this war. Many times we will blame that wrestling or that battle on spiritual forces or spirit principalities in high places. In other words, the devil or demons or evil spirits, where most of the time the battle is not against some type of other spirit, it's against us. Mano y mano, right? We're in this wrestling match with ourselves. And so we talked about that. If you missed that sermon series, if you go to our website, purposechurchd.org, you can go back and look. But now what we are entering into is this battle that we may find ourselves in that is dealing with principalities, rulers of darkness, and all of that. But before we start fighting, we need to know who we are. Amen? Well, you may say, I'm already in the fight. Well, hopefully what we'll talk about today and over the next few weeks will help in that fight. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's what this sermon series is going to deal with. And so we'll be looking at spiritual blessings, spiritual places, heavenly realms, and then we'll end it with the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 over the weeks. So y'all ready for this? All right. If you don't mind joining me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this moment that we can spend in your word. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now that you will give us insight of what it is that you want to share with us today. I pray that what is shared will meet each and every one of us right where we are in our life. Father, we pray against distractions right now. And Father, since we're in this area where we're battling, God, with maybe spiritual forces in high places, we speak right now that no type of evil activity will dwell in this place. So Father, we thank you right now that we are able to hear what it is you're saying and we're able to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go. Let's have some fun. So this is spiritual. And I want to kind of talk about that for a moment. Sometimes we experience things in our life and we say, what is going on? Anybody ever say that? Like stuff just happening. Like whether it feels chaotic, whether I'm just tired. I think last week or the week before that, we were talking about how sometimes it's a rainy day and you just kind of feel like, you know, I don't feel like going to church today. And sometimes we blame it on natural circumstances, but what if the enemy is using natural circumstances to try to keep me captive? And what I'm saying is, or what we may say, is that that's just the way it is. My mom dealt with that, my grandmom dealt with that, my dad dealt with that, my grandfather dealt with that, and they told me that I'm going to deal with it as well. Well, what if the enemy has been studying your family history and got a glimpse into who it is that God has called you to be, but is saying that I'm going to use your family origin to stop you from doing what it is that God has called you to do? And because we are just yielding to the natural things and not fighting spiritually, we become complacent. And so I believe, if you want to go on this ride with me, that this sermon series is going to come shake up some things in our life. And again, you might say, Pastor Will, I got enough stuff shaken up in my life. What if we're shaking up the wrong stuff? Like, what if we're paying too much attention to this, and the whole time the enemy is like, if I can just keep you distracted over here, you'll never find yourself doing what it is that God has called you to do. And so I'm just going to keep throwing distractions. Have you ever said this? If it ain't one thing, it's a, yeah, right? You see how we know all these different, come on, can y'all finish this one here? When it rains, it, come on, isn't that crazy? Right? And we almost know these different slogans more than we know the word of God. And it just play in our minds. But this is what God is saying, is that if we can, like, regurgitate the word the same way that we can, what it is, like something that we just said, there it is right there. That is how we fight our battles. Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil? How did he combat the enemy? Every time the enemy came to him and told him to do something, how did Jesus combat? Come on. It is written. And so I believe this shaking up of what will happen during this sermon series is God is going to challenge us. What does my word say concerning your life and concerning your situation? Because the moment you go back to whatever environment you're going to tomorrow or even later on today, there is enough people that's going to be talking slogans. And this may be in other careers as well, for my military people. If I come and say to you, how's it going? Some people say, living the what?
Dream.
Yeah. Living the dream. So there's all these different phrases that we say. And listen, this is not don't be real. I mean, be real. If I got a headache, I got a headache, y'all. Right? Like if I'm getting annoyed by a situation, but don't leave that. Don't stay there. That's what God is saying. We have to have enough word in us that even if the situation does not change immediately, I'm not going to just let it be the way it is. I am going to search the word of God to find out, God, is this situation in my life lawful? What does that mean? In heaven, is this allowed in my life? And if it's not, this is scripture that says, bind up whatever is already bound in heaven, but loose whatever is loosed in heaven. So if this cannot operate in heaven, but I need to know what can operate in heaven according to God's kingdom, then you know what? This should not be taking place in my life. Well, Pastor, well, what if I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, but that thing is just not leaving? Keep praying. Do not let up on the gas. Don't. I got to say that to somebody. Do not let up on the gas just because it's not working. Don't stop coming to church just because whatever you thought coming to church was going to equal this thing being fixed. And you came and you looked and it still ain't fixed. God is after our heart. And I do believe this, that at times he will allow situations and circumstances to allow in our life just so that he can get our heart. Because as he begins to start fixing things, then we like, I got it from here. And we stop showing up. Amen? Anybody ever been like that? And so God says, I want a relationship. I don't want to be a genie, right? I don't want, God, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Boop. Yes. See you next year. God wants a relationship with every one of us. Amen. And so that's kind of just give you a glimpse of what this possible sermon series is going to be like. Usually I'll teach or preach from the Amplified Bible because I like the way that it takes kind of like the King James Version and brings out either the Hebrew or the Greek. But this time I'll be speaking a little bit from the New Living Translation. And so just in case we don't make it to the end, you can take the rest of this home with you and you can meditate upon these scriptures. All right, let's go. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says this, and this letter is from Paul. So Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Paul says this, I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. All right. So I know Paul is writing a letter to the people of Ephesus, but I want us to take this scripture and make it personal. So the first area is this, and I love the way that Paul identifies this. I know that in the church, we put titles before people's name, like Pastor Will, or Apostle such and such, or Prophet such and such. But I love the way that Paul does it. Paul first says, this is me, Paul. Then he says, oh yeah, I've been chosen by God. Yeah, and then I am an apostle. And then he says, yes, and then I'm with Christ Jesus. And then he says, and these are the people that God has called me to. Sometimes we will flip it and we will say, you know, I'm just going to use myself, Pastor Will. And we get caught up in titles, but we lose the person. But God is more. So if you're here today and you have any type of title on your job, whatever it is, God is telling us, I am more concerned about the person than I am the title. So military chaplain, right? Chaplain guy, you know, and all that. We have all these different titles. But God is saying that to you today. And maybe this is kind of like, come on back home, my child. God is more concerned about the person than he is the title. God is more concerned about the person than he is what it is that he is asking you to do. He wants a relationship with you. And listen, and out of that relationship comes the assignment, comes the work, comes the people that God has called us to. But if I find myself title, people, who am I? And we lose ourselves. And this is what we tell ourselves many times. I'm doing God's work. Listen, and God is saying, but where are you? I can't find you. Because you're so caught up in titles and jobs. And I got to be there for my family. And I got to be there for my kids. And I got to be there for my spouse. And I got to be there for the community. And God is saying, but you're not spending no time with me. You're doing all these different things. But you forgot that the work that you are called to do is by the will of God. And is of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It's with Christ Jesus. And so let that sink in for all of us. Are we putting what we do and who people call us before who we are? And if that is the case, God is calling us back home. It sounded like the kids was over there clapping. This is so important. please hear my heart when I'm saying this. This is so important. You know why? Because in the next few weeks and months, some of you guys are about to get promoted. You're about to move into different assignments. Something else big is about to happen. And people are going to give you some accolades. And you're going to be being pulled into different projects and so many different things. And God is going to constantly keep tapping you on the shoulder. Say, spend time with me. I miss you. I miss you. And please don't let the applause of people be greater than the sound of heaven. We have to hear the sound of heaven. What do I mean by that? The song that they were singing, the angels cry, right? Holy, holy, holy. So we can't allow the noise down here to overwhelm or be louder than the worship to God. It is our worship to God that keeps us centered. Because God, as you read your word, as you praise God, as you come to church, as you worship, as you fellowship, as you pray, God will always say, okay, son or daughter, okay, thank you for what you're doing, but come on back over here. I appreciate the lives that you're impacting, but I need for you to come on back over here. I thank you that you've been up until 1 o'clock in the morning working on something, but come on back over here. God is more interested in the individual than he is the apostle. Than he is the people that he has called this individual to. See, the beauty of God is that he can be concerned about an individual, but also concerned about a nation at the same time. But here's the thing, and God has to constantly remind me of this with my family, that God says, I love your wife and your children way more than you ever could. Sometimes we think we're the only one. We're the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one travailing over this person. I'm the only one that's showing up on this job. I'm the only one in this department that cares. And God is saying, I'm about to stand up on a chair. And God is saying, hello. Do you realize that I never sleep nor slumber? That's what God's saying. I don't sleep. So when you're sleeping, I'm still watching. When you're tired, I'm still alert. And so sometimes when we spend time with God, it's as if God shows us his kingdom to show us like the vastness of what it is and who it is that he loves. And then he brings it back in and says, now I've called you to be an apostle. I've called you to the people of Ephesus. But every once in a while, we've got to kind of ascend to this higher location with God and see how majestic he is. So that we don't get caught up in our little corner and think, if I don't do it, it won't get done. God, I'm going to say this again, God is more concerned about us as individuals than he is as, oh, you're an apostle and I've called you to the people of Ephesus. Amen? So there's a lot going on in our earth right now, and we have to stay focus on God. Whew. Lock in. So we're at the end of the year. This is the last quarter. And I believe, before I want to say this before I forget it, is that I believe that God is accelerating some things spiritually. And so that means that if you are sensing an urgency to do something, it just may be God. But in your urgency, please don't forget God. And I feel that in my heart so much. I've got to finish writing the book. I've got to make sure I do this. I got to get to school. I got to get this done. I got to. And all of that may be God's will. But in the midst of it, this message today is to remind us, don't forget God. What it is that you're sensing may be from God, but don't forget the one that is from. Amen? Isn't there some phrase that says, don't something about the hand that feeds you or something like that? Okay, that don't fit into this sermon, does it? Isn't it wild how we know all these slogans? Oh my gosh. So just breaking this down. So let's look at Paul and then we'll put us in the midst of it. So Paul, the person, and then chosen by God's will. Man, this is so good. Chosen by God's will. So it's one thing to be chosen by God, but this means that God has a plan in his mind, and he said, you. I chose you for the plan. So it's not just, oh, I'm chosen by God. That's beautiful in and of itself. But God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. So that means that if there's anyone in here that feels as if I don't know if I really have a purpose, please let Paul's life be an example to you that God has chosen you by his will, by his purpose, by his plan. You are not just chosen, but God has a plan for your life. And regardless of where you are in your life, regardless, you have a plan. God has a plan for your life. Regardless. I feel like I got to keep saying that because somebody is saying, well, I don't know. Regardless, God has a plan for your life. Amen? Because sometimes we feel as if, we just kind of, no, God has a plan for your life. And what we're doing is just using Paul as an example to locate ourselves in our life. So Paul was chosen by God's will to be an apostle. And then it says of Christ Jesus or with Christ Jesus. And then very specific to God's holy people of Ephesus. So God's plan for your life is very specific. And sometimes and that's where it begins to become very finite. So you say, okay, so God has a plan for my life. I agree with that. Some of us will say, because I wouldn't still be here if God didn't have a plan. Like, yep, let's go with that. And then we'll be like, okay, well, I'll just sit around and wait for God's plan. Hey, he has a specific purpose for your life. For Paul, he was for the people of Ephesus, and then it drills down and say, and these people are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Wow. So that means that God has a plan for my life. He's called me to a specific context, and there's some specific people, and these people are in a specific context as well. So it's not general. We are not called to do, can y'all finish that? Everything. We can't, I know part of the scripture as Paul said, I'll be a Greek to the Greek, I'll be a Jew to the Greek, all that kind of, we are not. Jesus, when he came, he said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus didn't go around trying to reach everybody, right? Think about that. How come everyone was not healed by Jesus? Either they didn't believe or that was not his assignment. Amen? Somebody put it this way. They said that the power that Jesus walked in, if he didn't say Lazarus, and he just, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think it's pretty profound, that if he just said, come forth, that everybody would have got up out of the grave. I don't know if that's true or not, but I like that. But he was called to call Lazarus forth. Amen? So here are we as individuals. You have been chosen by God's will to be what God chose you to be. Add on, before the foundations of the earth. This is big. You are not alone. You're not alone. When I was studying this last night, there was this song that kept coming in my mind when I kept saying, you are not alone. Don't sing it. Because now y'all singing it in your head, right? What did he preach about today, Michael Jackson? But you are not alone. You know, I can't do it. I can't do this, God. I don't have the support. I don't have the people. God is saying it's with or of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is with you. You have been called to a certain people, and these people are in a certain context. So let's break this down just a little bit more. Paul, the person. Sometimes we are challenged and moving forward to do what God has called us to do because we wrestle with who we are. You want me to go reach those people? I have some insecurities, God. I don't know if you, we're talking to the Most High God, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but I got some insecurities. God, I don't imagine Moses, right? Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, the place where you came from, where you killed a person. And I want you to go tell Pharaoh, whose house you used to be in, to let my people go. Come on, what did Moses say? He was, oh, I don't know if you know this, Lord, but I kind of stutter a little bit. God, when God decided to invite us to do what it is that he has called us to do, he already knew all of our limitations. He already knew all of our excuses, but yet he still said, I'm calling you. I've chosen you. And I already know where you came from. I already know what you're going through, but I have chosen you. This scripture right here is powerful. If you can kind of digest this, if you need to write it down, take a picture of it, get this in his heart. If somebody is here and you're saying, I don't know who I am, this is answering that question here. It says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And this is the part right here. And so we are. And then it goes on and says this, for this reason the world does not know us because it did not know him. So I like that last part is saying, please listen to this. If we're going around asking other people, can you tell me who I am? They may not be able to answer that if they don't know who God is. So, okay, I'm a chaplain. I'm a pastor. I do a lot of counseling. I believe in therapy. I believe in counseling. But can I say this? We have to be careful that when we believe the words of a person over the word of God. If I need therapy, I'm going to go get therapy, but I'm going to take the word with me. But sometimes, listen to this, sometimes we are surrendering ourselves to different, I'll just put it this way, therapeutic practices, but we're not bringing in who we are in God. Listen, who I am in God does not change. It's eternal. But I'm going through something that is causing me to feel a little perplexed. And I need help in coming back to where? To who I am in God. So what is the end goal of everything? Get back to the realization of who I am in God. Amen? Amen. But if I'm going to a person who don't have a relationship with God, and I'm asking them, please tell me who I am, they can't. For this reason, the world does not know us because they don't know him. And so they're going to say to us, oh, don't worry about it. You ain't got to go to church every Sunday. And they'll say things like this, those people. The reason why they're saying those people is because they don't know God. They'll say things such as, you know, I tried church when I was younger and I got hurt, so that's why I don't fool with that stuff no more. And we're coming to certain people and saying, because we're broken at times. Everyone want to go through stages of brokenness. And we're saying, please, tell me who I am. Tell me who I am. But if that source does not know God, that source will feed you what they know. But whatever we are receiving, if I'm off because I experienced something traumatic, it should be trying, even if it's slow as I don't know what, getting me back to who I am in God. Not moving me further away from it. If you're tapping into something and it's moving you further away from God, it's not good. It's not good. Whatever it is, moving me closer to God. And then you say, well, who am I? I don't know who I am. Tell me who I am. This scripture right here speaks very profound. And that middle part right there, and so we are. Love this. Let me read this again. See, perceive, see it. We got to see it. We got to see how incredibly a quality of love that God has for us. And this is beyond our natural eyes. This is like our spiritual eyes. I've got to see in my heart that God loves me. Agape. Unconditional. I got to see it in my heart that God loves me. I'm having a problem loving me, but that doesn't change his love for me. And then when I get wrapped up in his love for me, and then I begin to look myself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm not that bad. I got some work to do. There's still aspects of me that I don't like. But hold on, but if God, who knows everything about me, loves me, why don't I love me? If God, who knows everything about me, accepts me, why don't I accept me? And so maybe what we have to tweak is the lens that we're looking through. Am I looking through the lens of my love towards me or through the lens of God's love towards me? And that's when it begins to shift. I am a child of God. Who am I? I am a child of God. Who are you? I am a child of God. And if that doesn't resonate with us, then guess who we need to get to know more? God. It's not the big man upstairs who's looking down, ready to strike us. It is the image of a man hanging on a cross with the ability to come down, but doesn't. That's the love. That is the image of our Father that loves us so much. And so I'll ask you guys as we wrap things up, can you say this with me? I am a child. And that surpasses everything. I don't care who family you were raised in, brought up in, what you've been through, what you done did, who done you hurt, it doesn't matter. If you have surrendered your life to God by believing in his son, Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Somebody say, well, who are you? I am a child of God. And they may not understand it if they're not a child of God. They may say, okay, I mean, I know that. I know you go to church and all that kind of stuff there. I know you're a Christian, but who are you really? I am a child of God. And you'll know whether or not you need to try to further explain that. Why are you being so deep? I'm not being deep. I'm speaking the word of God. This is the reality of who I am. And it is from this place of understanding that I live my life. As a child of God, I do the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all of that. Why won't you give up? I'm a child of God. How are you still forgiving that person? I'm a child of God. Why do you keep showing up and going to work? I'm a child of God. Why do you keep smiling when I know you're going through so much stuff in your life? I'm a child of God. It is the answer. Because without him, I am nothing. And then the rest of my life builds off of that truth. And the only reason that I am a child of God is because of his incredible love for me. That's it. So let me just share one more scripture. Somebody chuckled earlier about me getting to the end. Even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, set apart, and without fault in his eyes. Now, what most people will do, will focus on, I'm pointing this way, y'all looking up here. What most people will do will focus on the latter part of the scripture. Dang, I gotta be holy. I gotta be without fault. Man. Dang. I don't know if I can do that. But it's like, get up. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Man, just stop right there for a moment. So you mean to tell me before all of this started, you love me? And then you chose me? Wait, so the world didn't even start, and you already knew what Christ Jesus was going to have to come do? And you chose me to be a part of that redemption plan before you even created the world? So when Adam and Eve sinned, that's not when God came up with a plan of redemption. Before he even made the world, he already loved us. And he said, I love you, and because I love you, I choose you. Man. Guess what? Can't get out of that. And that means there's nothing that I can do for him to unchoose me. Because there's nothing I can do to get him to stop loving me. Sorry. I was looking for a way out, Pastor. We in this. God loves you, and he chose you.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.